Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thanks so much for being here today. And I may even make note that today is the first day of September 2022. Happy September, everybody. Labor Day is coming up. Okay, hope you have a great one. And right after Labor Day, everybody's back to school. So welcome back to school officially to everyone. And again, happy September. Thanks for being here. Somebody else is here today. I've got my old friend Kate Everly Walker. Kate has been one of our champions of equity for a long time, and well, all we do at our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Kate's CEO of Presence, which is Presence Learning. Presence, okay, is the new name of the company. We're going to talk about that. Okay, she's an author. She wrote a book called The Good Boss: 9 Ways Every Manager Can Support Women at Work. Nice title. I've got it highlighted and linked over to Amazon over here as you're listening to the show if you want to check that out. The Good Boss: 9 Ways Every Manager Can Support Women at Work. Kate is also, I might add, a working mom. All right. Presence, and I'll let her explain it better than me, is one of the leading providers of online therapy solutions for K-12 schools and clinicians. And in the past couple of years, that has taken on a whole new meaning. It was important before. There were shortages before, but now it's more important than ever, as you all know, in light of all the shortages that are out there. So we want to have Kate tell us all about how teletherapy, which is so important these days, is addressing special education staffing shortages. She'll tell us about her book, et cetera, et cetera, and also what's new over at Presence. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org, and please go over there, check it out. That's a home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. Go over there. Our magazine is over there. That's Equity and Access Pre-K-12. Also over there, everything I'm going to say now is linked over there. The last 2 years of all our podcasts, this one will be archived there as well. Our journal, which is Equity and Access Pre-K-12. Again, click on the cover. Just enjoy the magazine. We have our Excellence in Equity Awards program for Pre-K-12. Just click on the awards icon. You can nominate yourself, colleagues, businesses, friends, whatever you want, your school, whatever you want to do. Please go over there, check it out. We did extend the nominations because we got inundated. Okay, so please, as school returns, we know you want to participate. Please check it all out of the awards icon. We also publish SELtoday.org, which is our website, and as part of that, we do the SEL Today Digest, which we publish as part of our bigger magazine, and also in digest form on SELtoday.org. And very, very important, has to do with what we're talking about today, is teacher-retention.com, which is our website. We hope to keep great teachers teaching. It's that simple, teacher-retention.com. And over there, we also have various selections for you on professional development that we hope will keep educators in the classroom working and rejuvenated, including our compassionate teaching reset. So please check it all out. Everything's there at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, let me bring on Kate, and I hope this thing works today. Kate, are you there?
Hi, Larry. I'm here. Happy September.
Thank you, my dear. Happy September to you. It's nice to have you back here.
Yeah, you're the first person I got to say that to because my teenage daughter is still asleep since school doesn't start for her until after Labor Day. We're enjoying our last week of summer in New York.
Where are you?
In New York, in Brooklyn, yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to a superintendent of the Roblox School District yesterday, which is a part of Sacramento, and he was telling me he's been back for 3 weeks, and I know my Texas friends have been back for 2, so it's all over. It's all over the place, but Labor Day is it, Kate. They're all back, okay?
This is all back. Last days. Yeah, I know. Well, it already feels that way for us at Presence. This past week or this week that we're in is our busiest week of the year for launching therapy. Most schools are back.
When you say that, launching therapy, okay, as school starts, I never asked this question before, and you're getting involved with the teletherapy in the schools. What's the procedure to get it all started, okay, as the year begins?
We start planning with our returning schools in June and then keep bringing on more schools through July and August. And they send us referrals student by student with the IEP requirements and the therapy requirements for the year. And we're spending a lot of July and early August getting those set up on our platform, matching the therapists, right, and being ready to start the therapy in the first week of school so that you know, you don't start the year behind.
And who, one, and teletherapy, we'll talk about presence in particular in a second, but teletherapy, who's usually the point person at the school? Who handles it? The school counselor or school nurse or a principal? I'm curious.
It's the special education director is always our key contact. And then depending on the size of the district, you know, there might be a speech specific director, OT specific, and so on. It depends on how large of a population the school's serving. But always that SPED director is our first contact.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that. And on that note, let's talk about all this. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, Presence Learning, my one of my companies here that I've always worked with, okay, is now just called Presence. Am I correct?
That's right. We need to send you a new coffee mug, Larry. Presence.
Please do. Please do. Talk about that. Talk about the change.
So one of the things that we've had going on in the past year is we combined Presence Learning, which you know well, and which we've been the leader in teletherapy for traditional school districts, public districts. We combined with Global Teletherapy, which has been the leader in providing teletherapy to virtual school groups. And so as we've merged those two teams together, we've done a lot of talking, reflecting on, you know, our combined identity, who we are, how we want to, you know, convey ourselves. And we really started zeroing in on that word presence and the definition of presence, you know, our collective presence with our clinical network and the communities we're serving. So we decided to rename ourselves.
Excellent. So, but now, now that you've renamed yourself, is the website still Presence Learning?
The website is still Presence Learning. Yep, presencelearning.com.
Okay, just wanted to make sure of that. Okay, and Global and you are now combined.
Yeah, we're together. So everything that was on the Global site has moved over to Presence Learning as well.
Okay, cool, and good luck with that. Okay, good
Thank
luck
you.
With that.
Thank
Hold
you.
On. Got to clear my throat. I apologize for that. Okay, Kate, this is I got an interesting question here, and you just kind of led me in that direction. You work a lot with special education, okay? But you can help with special ed staffing shortages. And that's a big deal because special ed staffing is every superintendent I talk to, when I ask them how teacher retention is going, okay, and how teacher recruitment is going, they always say the big challenge is special ed, okay? And the pipelines are less, et cetera. You handle that. I'm going to say it this way, and I want you to explain it. As part of your teletherapy, I'm going to call it off-site, so to speak, the off-site educator. Maybe that's not the right way to put it. Can you tell me, okay, how you handle that, special ed staffing shortages and teletherapy, particularly with your company Presence?
Yeah, so this as you say, this is the topic right now, right? Everybody has shortages, particularly in special education. And what I would love to get across is that there's two ways that teletherapy helps address shortages. There's the very literal way that if you have an opening on your team that you can't fill, you can give that full workload, full caseload to a remote therapist that can cover the work, right? That's been, I think, the traditional way that we all think of teletherapy. When you can't get the staff on site, you can source offsite and cover the work that way, that is a lot of what we do. But what we have really seen, especially in the past 2 years, is that teletherapy helps in another way. It actually helps retain the on-site staff by spreading out the workload, by giving them cover, giving them backup, backlog coverage. You know, when one of their on-site colleagues is out on leave, they know that there's this hybrid team that they're working with that can take on some of that caseload, some of that burden. And, you know, together we find that the districts that are most successful in, you know, building, retaining their staff year over year are using teletherapy that way. It's as part of their overall workload management.
Kate, I got to ask you a question because I'm not an expert in it. Okay. How do you do that? How does somebody, and I'm going to say it this way, special ed, and I'm not a special educator. They're very special people. Okay. But it's a very touchy feely, caring type of education. Again, in my layman's opinion. All right. And I'm going to congratulate them for that. How do you handle that? Okay. How do you train your clinicians? You'll know exactly what I'm saying. To do that, to take care of that in an offsite manner. And I think that's what throws some people off. They're not sure that we'll accomplish the same thing in the end. Of course, the literal touchy-feely part isn't there. But, of course, you guys are very caring. But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. So, you know, well, first I would say, it doesn't even need to be trained because, you know, remember who we're talking about. These clinicians are, they are caregivers at heart.
No,
and
they are.
They're very warm, and that comes through in the online connection just as well as it does in person. And they, you know, they build these relationships, and we get these, you know, these lovely notes from parents who say that they feel like the therapist is in the room with them. I mean, my daughter receives speech and OT from teletherapy. We've known her OT and her SLP for years. We've never been in the same room with either of them, but they, you know, they've changed my daughter's life. They're friends, right? They're, you know, we consider them part of the family in a way. So you can, I think we all know that you can make human connections through the screen, right? But I think the other thing that helps some people picture how it happens is to remember when you're doing teletherapy, there is always an adult in the room with the child. If it's happening in a school, which most of our work is, it's a paraprofessional or another type of aid. If it's happening with a virtual student, it's a home caregiver, often a parent. And what we do train our therapists in extensively is how to direct that adult in the room to, you know, reinforce and to support the therapy so that you still have that person in the room to make sure that everything's happening the way that you need it to be successful.
Good answer, and thank you for clearing that up. How are you finding the people you need? Okay, school districts can't find them. You don't want to give out the secret. I don't know, but you got to find the people too. Okay, there's staffing shortages across the board. You guys are able to help fill that. Okay, and I understand, you know, people might want to stay at home and do this and work virtually. I get that, but how do you guys find people? What's the word on that?
You know what? I am happy to give away the secret because I actually think everyone should do it, including schools. And you know, we do work with schools that are more open to giving flexibility, allowing remote work. They license our therapy platform and work with us that way, where, you know, it's their own team, which, you know, I think all schools should consider. But what we find is, I mean, for sure, the flexibility, the ability to set your schedule is a big part of what keeps these clinicians working with schools when, you know, at the point where they no longer want to go to the school, work on site five days a week, salaried position, right? So we just looked at our own provider community stats recently, and so 67%, about two-thirds of our clinicians choose to work fewer than 5 days a week. And we let them set that, right? So they can say they want to work 2 days, 3 days. So clearly flexibility is important. When we survey them, 81% of the clinicians that come to work for us say that the ability to make their own schedule is the most important factor. So people do like the remote work. I think remote work is important, but
yeah,
it's more than that. It's about the schedule control.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. But the other thing that we've started doing in recent years is you know, we've had to get more broad in our reach as well, because there really is a shortage. There aren't enough clinicians. So we've started working directly with graduate programs to support more clinical fellowships. We've built out training programs to support clinicians who have worked with children outside of a school environment to, you know, teach them about IEPs and the structure of special education so that they can come work in the school environment. We've done some, you know, some partnership with a great partnership with a group in Puerto Rico to develop more bilingual speech pathologists.
Nice.
So we this is something that we do have to work on. Because of that short, you know, we feel the effects of the shortage too. And, you know, I think we can help keep more clinicians working in the space, but that doesn't fully address the, you know, the core problem, which is that, you know, we just don't have enough.
And we do need more. I'm curious, your people work virtually. Okay. Work well, by the way, but work virtually with their students. Okay. Does it, I just thought of this question, but I found it, thought it was interesting. Does it attract more younger or older folks? You know, younger folks are digital natives. I'll say that. I count you in that, Kate, not me. Okay. Younger folks. All right.
Thank you.
And, you know, so does presence attract more younger or older folks, or does it even matter?
It's surprisingly evenly split. I had that same question when I first came in, but you know, because it, you know, one group that you know is pretty large and has always worked with us is an older population who, you know, again, they no longer want to work full time in a salaried position in the district, but they still want to keep that connection to working with kids. So we do have, you know, people who are kind of in pre-retirement, but closer to retirement mode, who want to come and, you know, maybe do 15 hours a week, say, in teletherapy. So, you know, we've always had a spread of, you know, call it digital natives or not. And, you know, where it gets addressed is in the training, where, you know, some will need and want a little more practice time with our mentors and our clinicians to, you know, help them get comfortable working in the tech platform, whereas the, you know, the fresh graduates tend to be a little more comfortable figuring that out on their own.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I have to ask you this, and you could use this show as recruitment if you want. I don't care. I would be happy to do that. How does the salary work out? And the scheduling? I mean, scheduling everybody who wants to work on their own kind of schedule against the needs of a school must be very difficult. That computer program must be absolutely incredible, because I doubt if you're doing it by throwing the colored post-it notes at dartboards. Okay. So really, I did that with a editorial calendar we were doing, used post-it notes, and everybody laughed at me here because they said, oh, you can do that on Trello. You don't need all the post-it notes with the different colors.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Welcome to my age. All right. But my question is, how's the salary shake out, and how do you manage to do it all? I mean, to me, that's important. Talk about that.
It is very complicated, for sure, because we have, you know, a constantly moving need, right? It's not like there's one point at the beginning of the school year
exactly.
where we know what all the work is going to be. Particularly on the assessment side, you know, this therapy, more of the therapy can get scheduled out from the start of the school year, but assessments are coming in year round. So there's that moving target and, you know, and all of the complications of, you know, of course, the state-based license and credentials and individual Department of Education credentials, and there might be district specific requirements. So we do have this this technology system that keeps track for each clinician in the network, all of their all of their credentials and licenses, and then also their desired work. And you know, the big question at the start of working with us is what do you want? How much do you want to work? And when do you want to work? Because, you know, we do have people that come and want 10 hours. They might be working full time and they want to supplement their income another 10 hours of work, and then you'll have people that want to only work with us. So this is the first year we've done this. Because we were having so much more interest from people really wanting the stability of a full-time job, we've created salary positions. So the big question now, when you come to us is what do you want? Do you want to work hourly and, kind of set your schedule, or do you want the commitment or the stability of the full-time salaried role? So we do both now, and all of that goes into the scheduling system so that we know how many total hours you want, which days you want, which time zones, right? Sometimes we might get somebody who lives on the East Coast but wants to take Alaska districts because that's what fits into, their other work obligations.
Yeah.
And you get someone that only wants to work in their own time zone. So to say it's multivariable would be an understatement.
Right. To me, it's just fascinating how you do it. It's just incredible. What are you hearing from schools? Have the needs changed at schools? What do schools need to know about what you do?
I think that the needs have just simply gotten greater for schools.
Yeah. Okay.
And that is what is on their mind. And it's, it's these staffing shortages everywhere, not only with the special education staff.
Oh, it is everywhere.
So that's what's on their mind is how to, not just how to hire, but how to address the well-being or the mental health of their staff, right? How do we set up for this year in a way that's going to be manageable? So the conversation has changed really, really significantly for us with schools because it used to be much more about, maybe they had a preference for covering everything that they could cover with on-site hiring, and then they'd come to us next and, fill in what they couldn't cover on-site. That changed a lot during COVID because people just got much more comfortable with the idea of teletherapy and started to figure out for themselves, how to fit it in, where to fit it in. So that sort of starting point of, I'd prefer not to do teletherapy, but I'll use it where I need to. That's really how it was a few years back. Now it's much more, thinking about the entirety of the workload and, how can I out of the gate plug in your teletherapist to really, to reduce caseloads for the on-site staff, or, where can I plug in, your specialist, maybe it's in assistive devices, maybe it's in bilingual therapy, the areas that you might not have a full caseload for, or you just might not have that specialty on your on-site staff, looking at, sending that portion of the caseload over to us and covering other cases in person.
And what areas are you covering? I mean, I know you do special ed, but go over the speech therapy as two examples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you guys provide school counselors, school psychologists? Just go down the list, so to speak, of what you can provide to a school district or a school.
Yeah. So outside of special education, we have school counselors and social workers and psychologists who are working, and so that's working with other parts of the staff. And I think schools are still really, really figuring out who's going to have ultimate responsibility for the mental wellness programming in a school. But we're working with a lot of schools to help them set up their screening, set up their multi-tiered systems of support. Sometimes schools have a bit more of that in place and they're sending their tier two students to us. So we're doing, that work in, counseling and psychology services. And then within special education, we have teams of school psychologists who are doing the assessments, the behavioral assessments and disability assessments. We have occupational therapists, and we have speech, Yeah, we do
why not?
Significant
yeah,
amount of OT.
To me, but yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah, yep. And we do speech, and we do a small amount of PT as well. That I think is still less common. I mean, there are certainly parts of PT that really are better done in person, but there's some that you can do effectively through teletherapy. So we offer that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other point is, if there's no physical therapist nearby, okay, they must resort to teletherapy to do it, and you guys are trained to do it. Okay, so. So that's okay.
Right.
Okay. And yeah,
right.
You know,
right. Cause you know, yeah. A lot of the districts that we work with are very rural. And, and it's been that way since the start. So I think it's 55% of our schools are in rural areas. And, that was really the start of teletherapy, right? Was that, you know, that very practical approach.
Well, absolutely.
I don't have a therapist, you know, within range that I can hire and bring into the school. So, you know, of course, it's going to be better to do it online than to have none at all.
Absolutely. Okay. And it's part and parcel of the world today. Okay. You're kind of like what streaming is to movie theaters, teletherapy is the
mm-hmm.
schools. Okay.
Right.
It's
right.
That simple. We all got used to it. Okay. And it's the
mm-hmm.
way of the world now. Okay. It's
yep.
just, it's,
yeah.
it's that simple. What does a school or district, but let's go down to the school level, need to work with you? Any special type of equipment, or what do they need?
They need, we send the equipment. So they need a webcam. And if they're doing more, more sophisticated assessment, they'll need a document camera as well. And they need to have someone on site, that paraprofessional is typically the role, who
mm-hmm.
can, you know, who can coordinate and oversee that therapy on site. So those are the needs that the school has. The actual therapy happens. It's, you know, you're simply sitting down in front of a computer and going to a website. You don't need to log in. You just go into our therapist's room and they admit you when it's time for your session. So the technology connection is fairly straightforward. It can happen on, you know, really any kind of computer or device.
It's all good stuff. And every school district needs to look at this. And you said it, you know, every school district needs to look at it, but especially rural. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it started. And it's going beyond that now. Kate, I want to ask you wrote a book. Congratulations, Mademoiselle author. Okay.
Thank
how new
you.
Is the book? How new is it? We'll talk about it. How new is the book?
It came out last year in 2021. So still fairly new. Came out about a year ago.
It's a baby. It's a toddler. Okay, The Good Boss, 9 Ways Every Manager Can Support Women at Work. You want to just talk about that? And I'll tell you why this is important. Education is mostly a female profession. All right?
Yes.
But when you get into
exactly.
leadership, okay, principals, superintendents, et cetera, that becomes predominantly male. It's interesting, okay, and kind of dumb when you think about it. Okay, but that's the way it's always been. Okay, so really principals and superintendents are the managers that need to support so many women at work. Okay, and then they, you know, we all know women, it used to be you can become a teacher, a nurse, or a flight attendant, and those days, thankfully, are gone. All right, and so talk about your book in terms of what we can do in education, particularly, Kate, your expertise.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I wrote the book for, was, you know, to address this dynamic where there, you know, we have a growing number of women in the workforce, and as you say, in schools, it's a majority female workforce. It's the same thing at present. 82% of our employees are women. 95% of our clinicians are women. So, you know, we have the dynamic as well. And when you look at most workplaces, when you get up to the management levels, the executive levels, those percentages go way down, right? So,
oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, in my own career experience, working my way up, I came to
you're the boss,
really.
Kate. You're the family.
Now
you're
I'm
the
boss,
you're
but
the
I
boss.
Was not. Yeah. And, you know, people ask me for advice, women ask me for advice. And when I looked back, I realized that I owed a lot of gratitude to some very strong, supportive managers who, you know, lifted me up along the way, gave me those opportunities, gave me the encouragement. And I realized that most of them were men because most bosses are men, right? Most women will work for men as they're working their way up. So I wanted to write a book that was for all managers, but really mostly for those male managers to, you know, help them gain some perspective in how women are experiencing the workplace and, you know, what they can do. So it's a book of rules and recommendations for managers of, you know, what can you do to take responsibility for the careers of the women who work for you to help lift them up and bring more of them into leadership positions. And I think, you know, I've done a lot of speaking in you know, education environments and with schools over the years since the book's come out about this. I mean, schools are the perfect example, where, as you say, you have more men in the principal and superintendent roles, but, you know, tremendous number of high potential women who are working everywhere else in the schools and who, you know, want the opportunity to move up. And I think, you know, one of the big messages from the book is just to acknowledge and call out that you know, women, you know, the traditional workplace wasn't really made for women, and women need different things and want different things from their workplace.
Right. And I'm glad you wrote the book. It's called The Good Boss: 9 Ways Every Manager, Including Principals and Superintendents, Can Support Women at Work. Okay. It's really interesting, and good luck with that. How's it selling, by the way? How are you doing with it?
It's doing really well. I do a lot of, I get invited to a lot of employee trainings, speaking events. So it's been a fun experience. Writing a book has been very different from my day job.
Actually, you should do a professional. You should do what do I want to say? You should attend district conferences of administrators. Okay,
mm-hmm.
where most of the employees are women.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you should think of that. That would be cool for every school district to do. You'll be rich. You'll be wealthy. You'll be flying around on the Kate Eberly KEW1, this private plane.
Oh my gosh.
There you go. Okay. I think it's good though. I think what you're doing is really good. Okay. Congratulations on the book. And Presence Learning is now called Presence, but the website is still presencelearning.com. And this has been Kate Eberly Walker, my old friend, the CEO, an author, and I might add a working mom whose daughter, did she get up yet? Is she up yet?
She's still asleep. All is quiet in the house.
Yeah, let her go until Tuesday.
I'm working from home.
Let her go till Tuesday.
And you know what? It's her last chance.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope she has a great year. I hope you have a great year. I'm going to be in touch with you. Okay, I need to talk to you about other stuff. So, Kate, thanks a million for being here. It's great.
Thank
what you,
you
guys
Larry.
Do.
I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Believe me, we appreciate you and everything you put together with all this. Thanks, Kate. Be good.
Thanks.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Okay, everybody. As I mentioned, Kate Eberly Walker, a force to be reckoned with. Her book, The Good Boss, 9 Ways Every Manager Can Support Women at Work, and that's important in our education field, okay, and also presencelearning.com. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.